is still yet to be titled Leisure Project. My name is Daniel Varghese. I'm your host. Today, we're going to be having an excellent conversation about BoJack Horseman, and I am joined by two lovely people. To my right, she is the halftime leisure editor, the host of the 250, and has the greatest hair, especially when it's humid. Dan, yell, cue it!
Dan, thank you for that wonderful introduction. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Hello.
And to my left, it's John Block.
Oh. Hi.
John, the podcast god Block.
Yeah.
Today we'll be talking about the third season of BoJack Horseman, which premiered on July 22nd. Both of us have watched, all three of us have watched it.
Yes.
John and I watched it together, so sorry for not inviting you, Danielle.
It's totally fine.
And this episode will contain lots and lots and lots and lots of spoilers, because we really want to dive into this plot and what happened. And so if you haven't watched season three yet,
goodbye.
Thank you for clicking on the link.
You can still, if you feel like you want BoJack Season 3 spoiled for you, like, please listen.
Yeah, because we're going to try to spoil it really well. We're going to try to make this really interesting. But you probably shouldn't listen to this. It'll just make your enjoyment of the third season
Like 10 episodes. Just watch it and come back.
12 episodes. It's 12 episodes.
12. I apologize.
But yeah, you'll enjoy this much more probably once you've actually watched them. And they are good. Right?
Very good.
I wanted to take a little bit of time to get your guys' general thoughts on this season, because, John, what did you think about it?
I mean, I think this season started off really well.
Uh-huh.
There was kind of a bit of a lull in the middle, where maybe the episodes weren't quite as good as, mm-hmm. as they normally are, and mm-hmm. then ended, and we'll get there, but ended in spectacular fashion, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Danielle, do you feel similarly? Did you feel differently?
I feel similarly. I think it was a great season. I really liked it. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this was the one I paid the most attention to, because I tend to be like a absentee watcher, where I'll like be watching it and also on my phone. But like this one, I really paid attention, and it definitely like enriched the show for me. So
yeah, I agree. I think this season is interesting because it's. Best moments were, for me, a lot better than the best moments of the second season.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was that it's like, not good moments were much worse than the ones in the second season. And there are some episodes in the middle there, in the middle there, where right after the episode that they did entirely underwater, where just the jokes, the narrative, the stuff didn't really land for me. And it felt like the first episodes of season one,
yeah.
where they had not really figured out the tone that they were going for. They hadn't really figured out what kind of show they were going to be. And so they kind of existed in this weird, I don't know, they weren't able to get like the jokes and the strong, dramatic, sad elements that the show has like cultivated over the last two seasons. They weren't able to push that forward enough. In some of those episodes in season three. But I don't know, what did you guys think about the actual story that they were telling? Do either of you want to kind of summarize what happened over the course of season three broadly? Then we can take that to task.
Yeah, I feel like you watched it more recently than I did.
Sure. I mean, so I think the main plot line of season three is kind of centered around kind of, you know, in season two, BoJack does Secretariat,
mm-hmm.
The movie. And then season three is sort of like, oh, he kind of is pushing to get an Oscar nomination and win an Oscar. And
right.
so that kind of follows sort of, you know, the various things he's doing for that.
You see that change in the opening sequence where in the section in the title intro where last season he was in the studio working on a movie in the Secretariat gear. And the season before he was in a grocery store with like Frappuccino of some kind. In this season he's in a tux. And he's at, like, an award show part, like, a screening of Secretariat.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's doing the whole time.
So, yeah, I mean, it follows him kind of, like, doing the press and, mm-hmm. and sort of all the appearances and kind of, like, what you expect of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And as you might expect of BoJack Horseman, he has trouble dealing with those things.
He does indeed. He does indeed. So, there's a couple... Do you think that's a good summary
that's
of the plot, Danielle?
Yeah,
because
like a basic summary, we can go into like more plot details,
right?
As we talk,
right. So then, what was the biggest moment narratively for you this whole season, Danielle?
I mean, the end, kind of, you know.
Okay.
I mean, when Sarah like dies and like
yeah,
he just goes into this like huge spiral.
Yeah.
Like I think I kind of knew she was gonna die.
Right.
A little bit towards, like, when he, like, went to her and they go on this, like, huge bender. And then he, like, thinks she dies the first time.
Right.
And I was like, I really...
What?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I felt like that was, I don't know, kind of one of the biggest...
Yeah.
Just because, like, a character, like, died.
Right. Well, and Kristen Schaal's voice acting in that...
Yeah.
Little, that whole... For her, that character is excellent. She really captures, like, the washed up, like, entitledness that that character has.
Mm-hmm.
Just so well. And that episode was really, really interesting for me. Just because they did a lot of cool things this season with how they told the stories.
Yeah.
Like, there's obviously the episode with barely any talking. There was the episode where they did it in the flashbacks from 2007 going back and forth. Mm-hmm. There was the episode where they did it where it was, like, him on the phone with this, like...
Oh, yeah.
With, what is it? What are they called? The closer?
Oh,
the
yeah,
closer,
yeah.
The person from the LA
Gazette. Yeah.
Trying to get him to renew his subscription. And then there was that episode, the 11th episode of the season, where
yeah.
he calls Sarah Lynn and he's like, let's party.
Yeah.
And it's that episode for me is even sadder. It is probably the saddest of the season just because, like, Sarah Lynn seemed to be doing
better.
Better. Maybe it was like a fake better.
But like better.
But better. And then, you know, her and BoJack get linked back up, and like they don't want to do, they go on this awful bender. They're clearly two people who are just bad for each other. And it ends in her saying a bunch of, like, really deeply sad things and then dying in a planetarium, like,
yeah.
in his arms. Which is just, whew, it's heavy. It's
yeah.
heavy. I think at the end of that episode, that was the first episode I'd watched that evening, and... I was not really ready to go to the next one. I was like, oh my god, I
yeah.
need some time. Like,
I think, I mean, even just throughout the whole episode, like, even though the ending is, like, really, like, intense, like,
mm-hmm.
the whole episode, you're just seeing them, even though they're kind of, like, going on these, like, wacky adventures, sort
mm-hmm.
of, like, behind it, it's, like, very, very noticeably just so
right.
self-destructive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Through, like, the weeks, if not months, that that episode takes
right.
up. Like, it's between, like... I don't even, it's like some Oscar, it's like the Oscar nominations
right.
and like the Oscar award ceremony.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know how long it takes, but like at least a few weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
And it just, like, really, really, like, hard to watch
right.
in a lot of ways.
Right. And that whole period of time is, there's so many things that happen. Like, I always forget that in the middle of that episode, he goes to Oberlin and confronts Penny.
Yeah,
which
is
so
crazy.
Like, and he does it kind of accidentally and not really, but it's
yeah.
but something that it's like his blackout self really wants to do.
Yeah.
I
think that's definitely, like, he knows what the right thing is to do. He almost does it.
Yeah.
And then he just ends up not.
And every time.
Doing it every time.
The right decision gets just right out of his
yeah.
grasp. He just barely misses it. And in that episode, that whole page. You can say that, like, that's the whole series. It's BoJack most of the time, just almost doing the right thing and getting, like, 90% of the way there. And then the problem is that 10% is so important. And, you know, when you miss it for, like, when you always miss it, it just really spirals out of control.
And I think it's kind of like a circle type thing. Like, I think the 10% comes from him being, like, wildly unhappy with
mm-hmm.
everything. But then also the fact that he doesn't do the right thing makes him also more wildly unhappy. And
yeah,
so it's just
a self-perpetuating
thing. I think the episode before the episode with him and Sarah Lynn
mm-hmm.
ends with Todd kind of confronting BoJack
yeah.
and saying just, like, you can't keep blaming all these other things.
Right.
Like, all these problems, like, they're you.
Yeah.
And, like, that, I think, was, like, the best piece of dialogue in the entire season.
You're
like,
100%
it just,
right.
That, like, it was, like, very intense, and then just the episode ends when he says that.
Right, and he just goes, like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's like, it's that the way they've done these episode breaks is just so, is devastating
yeah.
in all of these things. Like, there's the one from earlier in the season where you're examining, what's Allison Brie's character's name again?
Allison. No, is it Amy?
No. It's
no, she's the Vietnamese one, right?
Yeah.
Who?
Diane. When they're examining Diane and Mr. Peanut Butter's relationship, and that the whole episode, the whole beginning of the season is, like, kind of it definitely focuses around them a lot more than the later episodes.
I really liked how they did that because
yeah.
like, in the first two seasons, I was like, why is she with him?
Right.
Like, I don't understand, and I feel like this season kind of made me, like, understand their relationship a lot more, and, like,
right.
made me, like, support it a lot more just because
right.
I think he kind of. was what she was working like at a coffee shop with people who like she really who were just like very insincere very bad for her. And I feel like he kind of he's like a dog. He's like he just likes what he likes and he's just happy about it. And I feel like I saw that I saw why she felt like she needed that and why she felt attracted to that.
Right.
Was in that relationship.
Right, and the cool part about that beginning, or one of the cool things about that beginning, those beginning episodes of the season, is that, like, at the end of the second, or in the first and second seasons, it was clear that their relationship wasn't that good, and that, like, both of them had problems with the other person that they just weren't expressing, and then it all culminated in the fact that in season two, Diane left from Cordovia, and then came back and didn't tell Mr. Peanut Butter for months and months, and just, like, drank on BoJack's, like, chair outside. And so to see them at the beginning of the third season, like, working on their marriage was actually really good. Because then you're like, okay, this is real. This is, like, what would actually happen if someone left for 3 months and didn't tell you. And they didn't just give anything, like, a very clean wrap-up ending. And I think that's emblematic of the show. This show doesn't treat anything cleanly.
Yeah.
Life is portrayed – obviously, it's not portraying life accurately. It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
There's talking horses, talking cats, whatever. But – emotions don't wrap themselves up perfectly like they do in a lot of sitcoms. And I really like that about this show. It's very raw and real in that sense.
And I think they really clearly went for that just because BoJack was on a sitcom and they usually, they kind of like juxtapose like the BoJack's like real emotions and they like sometimes will go back to like a scene from the thing and it's like, oh, it's all fine. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think my favorite moments in that vein or like when he leaves this when they show him leaving the set of horsing around and he goes off stage and then he like smokes the cigarette and he's just like I there's so many things that happened in the season. I forgot that there was that whole section where he talks to like one of his old co-stars from horsing around and they try to do another sitcom and for a while he's like really happy about it and then he talks to like the little kid. I guess that's in the
last episode.
And he talks to the kid. She's like, I want to be famous just like you, and he's like, no,
this is bad.
And then he like runs out of the room like that. I don't know, this series is devastating like that.
He like leaves. He like just picks
like,
up and goes.
He was doing great too, and he, like, I feel like he was actually doing work that he was like happy about.
Right.
Like the part where he was trying to like coach him into like
Ethan.
Yeah. It was great. Like he seemed like genuinely like excited and like happy about something, and then the kid just like destroys it for him because he realizes like it's maybe not what he wants.
Right.
Well, I mean, the last time that happened, the last time he was on a sitcom and there was this kid that looked up to him, like, that was Sarah Lynn.
And she's dead!
She died, and, like, he feels like it was because of him. Yeah. And in some ways, it was because of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. It's his fault. There's no redemption for him in that sense. Like, he's responsible for that, and he knows he's responsible for that. And he's not, like, an Oscar winner. So he can't even have that to be like, oh, but I'm a special good person. No, he's not a special good person. He didn't even get nominated. And he's responsible for someone's death. There's so much baggage that he has that it's just, I don't know, this is such an interesting character study.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about, God, so much happened in the season. We haven't even talked about Princess Carolyn's whole narrative arc of the series, which is actually one of my favorites. Because, like, her first of all, her relationship with Jonah.
The mouse?
Her assistant.
Jonah's such a funny character.
Yeah, he's so funny because he's just deadpan completely. And the moment where he, like, misunderstands the fact that he was at, like, he was like, oh, I was an interesting lecture at the Apollo for 40 minutes before I realized it was a comedy show. Like, and then he actually scheduled her 3 dates in the evening. And that whole storyline that it precipitates where 2 of the dates are bad and 1 of them is really good.
Yeah.
But then because of her crazy work life, because she is in this position, she can't pursue it, is just so devastatingly sad.
Yeah. And I don't know, I feel like it kind of works out for her, and she kind of, she, like, they have a great relationship, but I can see where they're going with it, where she's definitely gonna at least do something a little bit self-destructive, when she's like, I'm definitely supposed to be a manager, I'm such an idiot, I've been an agent this whole time, I was wrong, and he's like, what?
It's the same thing.
Yeah. She's like, no, it'll be great, and he's like, okay.
Right, and it's so interesting that all of these characters are so, they need to self-sabotage.
Yeah.
In ways that are so human.
Yeah.
Like, we all do this. This is such a Georgetown thing to have this very destructive culture where we're all like, we need to be doing this, we need to be doing this, we need to be doing this, and it sometimes works out. I mean, sometimes we end up doing things that we really enjoy, but a lot of times it ends up making our relationships with other people, like, very destructive or corroded or whatever. And The show is such a good representation of that.
That's why that's the best thing I think there is about it. I mean, right. If you look at a show like Breaking Bad, amazing show, like so little like relevance, time to
can't relate.
Yeah, and like so even you know you have this show with BoJack where there's talking animals right. And like there's like an underwater city
right.
And all this crazy stuff and like it's so relatable.
Exactly, it manages and it's weird too because it's not a show about even like. Normal people. Like, it's a show about celebrities who are also fictional, like, animated characters. Yeah. That's what's so interesting to me, that they're managed to represent all these very specific, like, to be honest, like, to be fair, like, they're very specific types of realities.
Yeah.
They're a really specific type of reality that I think only really applies to, like, very elite-ish type people, and because we go to, like, a really nice school, we all count as, like, elite type people. But it's managed just to capture those themes so well. And it's just so interesting and fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how it manages to do that. Because the show is, like, despite all of these, just its relentless narrative and the fact that none of its characters
it
end up, like...
It still manages to be funny.
It's so funny. What was the best joke of the series for you, John?
I don't know that it was like a single joke,
uh-huh.
But there's the like the spaghetti strainer like F the payoff that just goes throughout the whole season. You're like, why do they have all these spaghetti strainers?
I'm sure it'll pay off eventually.
I just
love Mr. Peanut Butter. Yeah. He's just like I feel like that's how you should just live life. He's like, I feel like this will be good, and I'm gonna do it. And then he doesn't. It works out great for him. I mean, clearly not to that extent, because, like, don't buy a ton of spaghetti strainers.
No,
it's
please.
Not going to pay off.
Again,
but, like,
this is a fictional cartoon. Do not take any advice from these characters. They are all terrible.
Exactly. But he has, like, the just enthusiasm to just go for it.
Yeah.
He just does it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
My favorite part about that whole plot was at the very beginning where he, like, takes... his financial advisor, his former accountant, like, away from his child
and
his parents. And then he's like, what's your favorite song? He's like, Cat's Cradle.
Don't
like,
listen to it.
Don't listen to it. Like, I'll listen. I'm going to listen to it, Dad. He's like,
it applies too well now.
That's the best moment of this. Like, I thought that was so funny. I think I, like, actually had to stop because it was just, I was like, ha-ha, it's
no,
too good.
Yeah. There was a couple of things. I think they have a ton of good sight gags. Like,
mm-hmm.
One of my favorites was they're, like, on set. And the camera pans past. I think it's Jerry Seinfeld in a bee suit. Like, this is what I got from it. Clearly, probably for bee movie, talking to like someone who's working on the set who's like an actual bee. So it's like one, it's like bee movie was stupid.
Right.
Two, it's like
no, bee movie is awesome.
Bee movie is the weirdest
movie. Okay, we're gonna talk about this later.
Two, it's this is like very deep of me. Well, I mean, whatever. But it's kind of like people like someone playing a person of color in a movie
mm-hmm.
who's clearly not in that like category. It's great. I loved it. I was like, wow.
There are definitely like a lot of digs at like kind of like Hollywood and like celebrity culture.
Yeah. And so there are so many dimensions to the funniness of the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, there are narrative jokes that are like, if you take them on, like they're sad kind of in the micro scale, but like in a larger sense of like what the story is, it's like kind of funny and ironic and whatever.
Yeah.
It's like funny on like that very like like that kind of level,
like nose laugh. Like
yeah, that. But then there's like the dumb like just alcohol jokes.
Yeah,
there's the dumb like substance abuse jokes. There's the like slapstick like jokes.
Just the animal jokes.
Yeah,
like, telling Mr. Peanut Butter to like stay.
Yeah,
it's gonna be funny.
Yeah, exactly. Stay. And then there's all the visual stuff that there's so many dimensions to the humor in this show that it's impossible to pick up on.
There's just so much, like, they just have things throughout, like, the spaghetti strainer thing is, like, pretty obvious.
Right.
But there's, like, a lot of things that are also, like, not quite as obvious.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, I mean, like, this isn't so much, like, a big payoff, but just, like, all, like, the references to, like, the Nazi who played Yahoo throughout the whole season.
Yeah, you know.
What did they change George Clooney's name to?
Like, George Clooney.
Yeah. No, it was, that was one of my favorite, like, one of my favorite, like, throwaway lines.
Yeah.
When he was like, who even is, like, why do people even like him? He's just an old guy that plays prank. He's not God. And then Todd goes, isn't that just God, though? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And even in, like, serious things, they have, like, this, like, foreshadowing. Like in the episode they do about abortion,
mm-hmm.
like, there's just one line where BoJack's just like, oh, yeah, like, there were plenty of women who, like, I had to get abortions, like, in the 80s.
Right.
I hope all of them did.
Yeah.
Oh, my I totally missed that. And then at the end, there was like the person who was trying to get in contact with him, and it was just like a sad horse, and you're like, oh no, season four is gonna be lit. Yeah, or really sad, because
probably both.
Probably both. Yeah, the show manages to be like the most serious show on television and also the funniest show. And I don't know how they're able to strike that balance.
Hard work, man.
But I think a lot of it is due to the fact that it is an adult cartoon. Yeah. So a cartoon is kind of like an inherently funny form, and they're using it to tell this really dark story.
Yeah, like if it were not a cartoon, I feel like it would be far more depressing.
Right.
Even though it already is very depressing.
It wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
Because they would be horses. But
if it was just people.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, but then like you lose so many dimensions of that humor. I was having this conversation with someone yesterday. I was interested to get your thoughts on adult cartoons. Obviously, like we like BoJack. But how do you feel generally about like the form of cartoons that are written for adults? So like things in the vein of South Park, of Family Guy, of I don't know if there's anything that's really been like BoJack or like Rick and Morty or something like that.
Yeah,
I think narratively BoJack is very unique for an adult cartoon because I feel like a lot of adult cartoons are just like, haha. Like I feel like I don't know. Sometimes like Simpsons gets a little deep, but like it's I can't think of an adult cartoon. I'm not like very well versed in adult cartoons, but I can't think of one that goes this like deep narratively.
Right. John.
I mean, I think adult cartoons work best. I mean, you can have things like The Simpsons and Family Guy and, like, the other Seth MacFarlane stuff. It's fine. Like, they're sitcoms and they're animated.
Right.
And I don't think the animation makes them worse.
Right.
But I think where adult cartoons, like, succeed the most, and I think you've definitely seen it in BoJack, I think you see it in Rick and Morty, I think you probably see it in Futurama to an extent, although that's pretty sitcom-y as well. Is when you kind of, like, you play on kind of, like, the ridiculousness and, like, the possibilities of animation, you know, through, like, you know, space travel and all the crazy stuff that happens in Rick and Morty or through, like,
in
talking
Futurama
animals.
Too.
Yeah, in Futurama or through talking animals in BoJack. And you, like, you play that up so much that, like, when you, like, you go at, like, real issues, like, the really, like, relatable things and, like, sad things that happen in BoJack, they hit so much harder because the rest of it is, like, so alien in a lot of ways, and like you can take advantage of that for humor purposes, but like it really lets you emphasize like kind of a ridiculousness and then like a serious relatable element at the same time.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And I think a lot of people immediately write off adult cartoons as just a very strange type of thing. I was having this conversation yesterday where I think someone was saying that, like, adult cartoons seemed like they were kind of misrepresenting what they were about.
Yeah.
For immediately, just because it was a cartoon, therefore it was supposed to be something for children, therefore it was not supposed to be something that was, like, slapstick or inappropriate in a way. And I think in that sense, like, shows like Family Guy and American Dad and basically everything that Seth MacFarlane has done has kind of done, like, adult cartoons as the format a little bit of a disservice. That being said, like, I don't think anyone should ever write any form of art immediately. Like, that's a bad thing to do, I think. But there's a difference that I see between something like Family Guy and something like BoJack Horseman and something like Rick and Morty. And sure, in BoJack and Rick and Morty, definitely there's all the slapstick stuff. There's the gross jokes. There's the fart jokes. There's the poop jokes. There's the
There's a character in Rick and Morty that is a fart.
Exactly. But those are used in much, much different ways. And the themes that they get out of the show over the course of its run are so much deeper and so much interesting. Like, it's so much more interesting. Like, in Rick and Morty, the theme is the relationship between Rick and Morty, this, like, crazy scientist and this, like, dude. And then at the end, like, Morty, or Rick has to decide at the end of the second season, like, whether he can continue what he's doing. And, like, I don't know, they just are able to, like, pull out this really sad story of this guy who's ultimately, you know, really regretful of a lot of the things he's done, even as he puts on this crazy front of this very zany, fun scientist. By the end of the season, he's just so sad and he has to leave. And that's ultimately a brilliantly human story that really hits you hard when, like you said, it's surrounded by just the silliness of animation and that all the infinite possibility of that world. And that's why I think, like, like a cartoon and animation is such an amazing format or amazing method and venue avenue for telling a cool story.
Yeah.
And that's why I it kind of makes me feel weird when people immediately write off cartoons for adults just because they're like, eh, they're
I feel like it's like the first thing you probably think of is either like Family Guy,
right.
Like that strain, like Family
Guy. Right. South Park sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean South Park can be good. Like South Park.
Yeah.
Like I mean they all can be good.
Right.
But it's just like not the same.
Right, and there is an excess that some of the shows hit.
Yeah.
Like South Park can be way too much.
Yeah.
Like there's just so much swearing, there's so much violence, there's so much that. And that like that can just be immediately way too much for me. Like I can totally understand where like I've never watched Breaking Bad because like that level of violence kind of like wigs me out. And like maybe I should.
No Game of Thrones for you.
Well, I also like Game of Thrones, but that's because the it's not as violent anymore.
I don't know. Breaking Bad can get boring.
Although. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I haven't watched it, so I can't disagree or agree with you.
I've watched like two seasons.
Have you watched the whole thing?
Of Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah, and so I think I'm of the opinion that you have to take each cartoon written, or you have to take each show, like, outside of its genre individually.
Yeah.
For me, it's weird to say, like, I don't like watching cartoons for adults because, or, like, I don't watch watching cartoons because I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Because, like, all cartoons are for children, and cartoons that are not made for children are therefore bad.
Yeah.
Like, no. I think you have to take each show, like, for what it is.
Exactly, yeah.
And sometimes even, like, take each episode of that show for what it is, which is how I feel about South Park.
Yeah. True. Yeah. I don't know, because I feel like it kind of more depends on the person who's making the cartoon, because I feel like if the person has an actual vision for it, it's going to be good regardless of the medium that they do.
Right, and that's true for any show.
Yeah,
like, if you have a point and an idea that you're trying to get across with the show and the characters you really want to work with, you can make anything great.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
All right, so then to wrap up, let's kind of like, or to wrap up this little section on BoJack Horseman, let's kind of talk about your overall rating of the seasons. How does season 3 stack up to the other two for you guys? John, what do you think?
I mean, I think season 1, I think they're all great. Uh-huh. I think season 1 takes some time to get into.
Yes.
I feel like that's most shows.
Yeah. I think, but I mean, especially with like BoJack Horseman, like the weird, I mean, like you've got just like to understand the way the show works with kind of like being super depressing and also really funny and also like all these animals. And so I would say that's probably, even though they're all great, I would say that's probably the worst season. I think I would probably put season 3 as the best and then number 2 in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think even though the middle of season 3, I think is maybe like the worst of all three seasons. I think as a whole, season 3 is just really, really excellent. I think the ending especially just hits you pretty hard in like a very good way.
Yeah, I wish it had ended slightly differently because like they just because like I was so confused by the whole like BoJack just
Forrest
looking
Gump
at the
thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No, that's immediately what I thought when he was out there looking at the running horses. I was like, he's gonna go Forrest Gump.
Well, he kind of does that in season 2 with the running. There's the monkey who like he's like starts running. And
yeah,
like the monkey who's running.
Right, and I don't remember if we actually like went back and looked, but like was there a season with all the running horses at the beginning of season 3? So, like the monkey thing at season 2. There was the monkey at the very beginning of season 2. Was there that horse?
I don't think.
Because I don't think John and I noticed it.
I felt
like there must have been something.
Some reference to it.
Yeah. But yeah, and so what do you think, Daniel?
I agree. I think it definitely like gets progressively better like through the seasons.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because one, it's just like it's a kind of a tough thing to master, like a tough balance to master.
Right.
And I feel like as time progresses, they get more like they get better at it.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely season 3 is the best season.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you, which I don't think like I've read like a couple of reviews of the series, and everyone seems to say like nah, season 2 is better. But I agree because even for me, like the lull in the middle of season 3 wasn't as like evident and obvious, and I actually liked a lot of those episodes.
Yeah.
Quite a bit, especially like because in that moment you get the exploration of his relationship with Anna Spanakopita, which
yeah,
hilarious last name by the way. but yeah, and that's like one of those other things that just is devastatingly sad that they have to set up for the end for like the like spike where she just ignores him and she's
you're
like
gonna drag me down.
I'm not gonna let you take me. You do. Yeah. and where you think for a moment that that relationship isn't just super transactional, and it wasn't on BoJack's part, which is the most like devastating thing about it, because he was like, oh, like I want to love you or like you,
yeah,
for who you are,
and she's like
I like you because you're a celebrity and you almost got an Oscar.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that there was like a little bit of redemption for her in those episodes where she like got rid of all her other clients,
mm-hmm.
but also at the end,
she just,
that was it.
Yeah.
She just kind of ignored him and like wouldn't answer his calls and was like, leave me alone. So I thought this episode was the strongest, or this season was the strongest of the three. Even though I think season two had like a much clearer arc, I liked that like season three's highs just hit so much higher.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for a little promo, and we'll be right back. So if you're enjoying the Untitled Leisure Project, even though it doesn't have a name yet, you should check out our other podcast about pop culture, The 250. It's hosted by Danielle Hewitt, who's on this episode, who joins me now. Hey, Danielle.
Hi. So you should definitely listen to The 250. Danielle's also on The 250.
I am. I'm on for the summer.
But, like, I'm just the host. So
yeah.
Anyway, The 250 is a movie podcast about the IMDb Top 250 movie list. So
Ooh.
We pick a movie once a week in no particular order and talk about it. It's a fun time.
It is a great time. Yeah.
If you want to watch more movies, you can watch along with us or you can get them spoiled for you. Either way, listen to The 250.
You can find The 250 and all of the other podcasts done by the Georgetown Voice at www.georgetownvoice.com. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to that.
Yeah.
So we want to try a new segment now at the end of our show. We're still piloting, basically. We don't have a name yet. And we're trying different things. So today we're gonna do a segment called Odd Loop. The premise is basically, what do you have on loop this week? What are you listening to? What are you watching on repeat because you can't stop? John, what's on loop for you?
I don't even know if there's anything new per se,
uh-huh.
but I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of the band Mystery Jets.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty good. So yeah, that's all. Check them out. They came out with a new album, but I haven't listened to the new album. I've just been listening to their old music. So
right.
Hopefully the new album is good.
Excellent. Danielle?
I've been listening to, her name's No Name, she's a rapper. She's featured on like almost all of Chance the Rapper's projects.
She is indeed.
Except for 10 Day, I think, but everything else, yes.
Yeah.
She's awesome. I really like her. It's very like calming, neo-soul, R&B type thing. She's a very interesting style of rap. She was like spoken word poet. I suggest you listen to, what is it? All I Need and Diddy Bop. They're good songs. It's on SoundCloud for free, so download it.
Cool.
It's called Telephone.
Mine's actually very similar, because I really like the other thing suggested by Chance the Rapper a couple weeks ago, which is the Jamila Woods album, which is another person who is another frequent Chance collaborator, did the hook on
Sunday
Candy, which is the song that I think everyone knows. Also the hook on Blessings.
Yes.
And so her album also came out. It is also free on SoundCloud. It is also excellent. It's mostly like R&B. And there's if you need something to like kind of get you into it, there's a song LSD that she did with Chance that's really great. And if you're familiar with that, then like just listen to the album all the way through. It's awesome, really good vibes. Yeah, so that's what I've been listening to a lot of. All right, so we've reached the end of our episode. We've been joined by Danielle Hewitt.
It's been real.
You can follow her on Twitter at
dnhewitt96.
We've also been joined by John Block.
Hello. Goodbye.
You can follow him on Twitter
at John @John_Block_.
This podcast is also edited by John Block. My name is Daniel Varghese. You can follow me on Twitter at drvarg01. Our theme music comes from Ben Sound. You can find other royalty-free music, including this song, at www.bensound.com. This podcast has also been a production of the Georgetown Voice. You can follow the Georgetown Voice on Twitter at gtownvoice. You can also follow Halftime, our blog about leisure and sports, at halftimegu. And you can visit us online at www.georgetownvoice.com. This has been fun. See you guys later.